The best way to persuade others is to listen to them. This is instant inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Oh, I have lots of people in my world that pretend to listen to me, and they don't. And they say, oh, what you have to say is so important, I want to hear every word of it. And then I ask them questions occasionally about what I have said. Some subtle point, but it's what I've said. And they haven't caught on. They haven't been listening. And the reason they're not listening is because they're thinking of what they're going to say to me. They pick up some little point that I say, and they're ready to jump down my throat with that point and say, but what about this? Now, how would you say this? How would you answer this? You know, not a matter of threatening me, but just threatening me with coming up with an answer that's going to satisfy them or anybody else. So, I listen to people when they talk to me. And I have a photographic memory, and I have a photographic mind when it comes to listening to what people say and hearing what they say, and then I repeat it. And sometimes I repeat it a little differently than the way they said it, because that's the way they came across. Now, you listen to people, and what are you really hearing? Are you hearing what they're saying, or are you hearing what you think they're saying? And you see, when you hear what you think they're saying, you don't get the impact of what they're saying. Now, it's not that you're bad or evil by doing that. It's just that you're bad and evil by doing that. Because if you don't listen to what the other person says, why have a conversation? Why involve them in the conversation at all? Why talk to them at all if you're not going to listen to them? Because if you're not going to listen, then you might as well just talk to yourself. And some people call it a motor mouth, you know. You're never silent. You never listen to somebody else. However, this is not what we're talking about. The best way to persuade others is to listen to them. Ellen made a comment the other day about this guy's wife, Randy's wife, Big Randy, at the Church of the Wildwood. And Big Randy's wife is Big herself. And when she comes to talk to you, she puts her whole body listening to you. She turns her attention towards you. She turns her thought towards you. She turns her eyes towards you. She listens very carefully. And if she doesn't understand something because the terms might be different than she's used to, she immediately asks in a gentle, nice way. And when you're done, and when she's done listening, you know, when you're done talking and she's done listening, she can tell you everything you said if you wish. But more than that, she responds to what you said. And she lets you know in no uncertain terms. Not, I don't think it's something purposely. I think this is something she's trained herself over the years to do. But she speaks to what you said. Now, you see, there's a great humility there. Because she is more interested in you and what you have to say than she is in telling you about her. In other words, when we have a conversation with her, we have virtually no idea about her, because she doesn't, it's not just she hides it, it's just that she listens to us and responds to us and hears what we say. She knows all about our grandparents and all about our aunts and uncles. She knows all about our family and all about our education. She knows, because these are things that we mouthed off about. And she listened. And she doesn't say, oh yeah, that's where I went to school too. Oh yeah, I went to high school too. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. She, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, that's no humility. If she says, oh, you went to high school? Where did you go to high school? What was your teacher? What were your teachers like? Did you have any special teachers that were good in music, or were they good in geography? I like my geography teacher, personally. And I like my a cappella choir teacher. And I liked a few other things, and my poetry teachers. And I didn't like English, And I didn't like a few other things until I met an English teacher who really taught English, Shakespeare. And she got up and performed the Shakespeare. We all fell in love with Shakespeare. But she not only taught Shakespeare, she taught English with it. She taught how to speak. She taught how to use words. She taught how Shakespeare had used those words in a most meaningful way. Well, now, obviously we were a class, but that doesn't mean anything, because you can have a class full of non-listeners too. But we were a class full of listeners, and the students who graduate from her class, they know two things. They know English very well, and they know how to type, because she taught typing too. And an excellent typing teacher. I had one semester, and that's all the typing lessons I had in my life. And I typed reasonably good. So, you see, when you have a good teacher, when you're talking to someone who you respect and who you believe has something to say to you, and you listen, you come out on the top of the heap. Now, what difference does it make if they know that you had the same thing? What difference does it make to you or to them that they know that you had a bad teacher one time too? What difference does it make? Ask them about their teachers, about their life, about their world. This is what really is beautiful. Be such a good listener that people just love to have you around. And you know, a lot of people you can't stand to have around because they're just always telling you about, oh, my, this and my, that and my, that other thing. You know, my mother and my father, my sister and my brother and my talent and my stuff. And you, let me out of here. I'm drowning, you know. But being a good listener, you never drown because you have a sincere interest in what the other person says. You really know who they are. And you say, oh, your mother did that? Well, what'd your father say about that? You know, you don't say, stupid mother, to yourself, you know. And then you just think to yourself, I would hate to have a stupid mother like that. And you know, she's talking, and she's probably going on to tell you that because of that, her mother turned to the play and became the lead character in the play because she had performed so well, you know. And everybody thought it was so real that she was talking about her mother and talking about this and that. And she was really acting. Now, when a child comes home from school and you say, okay, kid, what'd you learn today? Well, Dad, we had a class, and the class said to us, teacher, that if we would put on a play for the school, that we wouldn't have any schoolwork. We just have the play work. And I signed up. I think it's a great idea. The father said, are you sure? Now I ought to talk to your teacher. Oh, it's okay, Dad. You know, she means what she does. And then in learning the part of the play, he wants to be the best character that he can be for that character in the play. And so he learns to enunciate. He learns to speak clearly and speak positively and speak dynamically. He learns to lose all of his inhibitions about performing. And he gets up there and he says, you said you're going to do that. Now I want you to do that. And, you know, on stage you can say that, but otherwise you couldn't say that. And then the other person says, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to you. You better pay attention to me before I come over there and I show you what for. And you see, perfect language, perfect literature. And then the other fellow says, oh, you're going to show me what for, okay? Dad! And his father comes on stage. Yes, son. Big, burly man, a wrestler and a, you know, pugilist of every kind. And you look up at him and say, that's your dad, huh? Sir, you have a brilliant son. Your boy is fantastic. A complete change, complete turnaround. No longer is this kid picking on the other kid. He recognizes that there's a little authority there that's not going to let him get away with it because his dad's protecting him. At least that's what they think, you know. And so he changes his scene. Now, that's not too difficult for a child to conceive of doing. That's not too difficult, but to do it with feeling and emotion to call is a very wonderful thing. And so this is what the teacher is teaching these kids to do it, to call. And they're doing it just beautifully. They're having a time of their life. And then they get up to put on the show. It's usually a one-time performance. And when they get on that show and that stage and put on that show, everybody's watching them. They're like, wow, yeah, I didn't know that guy had it in him. You know, I didn't know they were that talented or that this or that, you know. My best friend, Tom Bardenwerper, his father was a physician, a doctor, a medical doctor, and they had one of the big houses in town. It was one of the ones we passed on the way to school. And it was right across from Shirley Benoit's house, who was the daughter of the editor of the local paper, who was my friend. And so Tom was one of my best friends. Not my best friend, but one of them. And Tom and I, we'd do many things together. We'd look through his father's medical books and stuff like that, you know, and be so surprised and amazed and what have you. And then we would go hiking and we'd do all sorts of interesting things, you know. But I thought that Tom, because his father was a medical doctor and his mother was some quality secretary of some sort or other, you know, in the medical field too, that Tom would go for something, you know, to put his name in lights, you know. What did he do? He put his name in lights, right? In a different field. He became a cop. He became a policeman in Wauwatosa. And it's just a little town, well, it's maybe about 60,000 people, you know, not very big. And so he was a policeman there in Wauwatosa. Of course, when we were in Wauwatosa, there was only about 13,000 men, you know. And it grew quite rapidly, but I would have thought Tom would have gone on to other things, you know, something a little more demanding of his intellect. But apparently he made a wonderful cop, and he was appreciated by everybody for his integrity and his everything else that was good. But whenever we talked, whenever we dreamed together, whenever we thought of the wonderful things that we were going to do, he always had high on the list big projects, big things. And me, I just always wanted to have fun. I just always wanted to enjoy what I was doing while I was doing it, because that seemed to me the most important thing. I had several friends who died, and one of them was Douglas Meyer's brother, you know, and he had tuberculosis. And so I would visit them at the hospital. I would do these different things that I was allowed to do. And I felt, hey, you know, it's a little fragile, this life. And so we want to live every moment we live completely and have a great time. And I wasn't afraid of dying, but I was sure going to enjoy living. And so I did every single thing I could to be fulfilling my idea of what I felt was living. And I've told you lots of stories about the things that I did. But Tom, he was it got me about Tom. He was the lead singer in the choir. He was the lead singer in all of the operettas that they put on. He was the lead basketball player and football player. You know what I mean? One of these characters who leads in everything. And he did good in school. Every class he got an A, you know, got top grades and everything. And all the girls just, you know, fawned all over him. You know, they thought he was the greatest, and he was. He's a great like Gregor, you know. But everybody loved him. And he loved himself, I guess. But he had no aspiration. With all this genius, he could have been a singer, he could have been an actor, he could have been in any area of life he chose, because he was an excellent student. And he didn't go to college, which surprised me too, because the money was there for him to do anything he wanted to do. And I'm sure his father was surprised that he chose a field like that. But today, being a cop is a little different than then. Because today, you have to have a really fine education. You have to really know forensics. You have to know all about weapons. You have to know all about terrorism. You have to know all about all the nonsense that goes on in the world. And I mean, I wouldn't want to fill my mind with that stuff. But at that time, it was just helping cats out of trees and things like that. Because there just wasn't that much. We left our houses open all the time, you know. The stores. I imagine the storekeeper forgot to lock the store, you know, and nobody would go in there. It wasn't the right thing to do. And it was a whole different life, a whole different lifestyle. But the best way to persuade others is to listen to them. And I didn't persuade Tom very well. But I listened to him, and his stories were always quite excellent. And he listened to me. That's what friends are. You listen to one another. And he listened to me, and he respected where I came from. And I would imagine if I were to contact him today, it would be just like we had never not known each other. Just like with Fred Smart, and just like Doug Meyer, and a few others, you know. Just like, you know, yesterday we'd been together. And of course, that's because I listened to them. And they listened to me. But mainly I listened to them. And they were brilliant. Fred Smart had the farms and so forth, and I listened to him. He taught me all about farming. He taught me how to run all the equipment and the tractors. I was 10 years old, too. He was 12. And he showed me how to ride a motorcycle. He showed me how to feed the cows and how to milk the cows. And he gave me the opportunity to do all these things, you know, on his folks' ranch, on his folks' farm. And it was great. But I listened to him. He would tell me, he was a great teacher, really. He would tell me all about how to do things in the right way, probably directly from his father. But he had listened to his father. And then he gave me that information. But man, he persuaded me, not to be a farmer, of course, but he persuaded me to be a person who knows virtually everything about everything. And whenever I was interested in anything, I would study all aspects of it. I wasn't a genius in it, but I was knowledgeable. And so then anything that came up about it, I was able to do. Then that's fun. But I listened to Fred. I listened to Tom. I listened to Doug. Doug was a very sharp boy. He, too, had different motivations than many of us had, but a very sharp guy. Doug did anything he wanted to do, and he always owned the business. His major venture was a sod farm, where he raised sod. You know what that is? He raised grass for people's lawns. And he would work hard in the spring, summer, and fall. And in the wintertime, he would go to Florida scuba diving, or he would go to Mexico, or he'd go down to Newport Beach, where I lived. And he came down there, and he spent many winters in Newport Beach scuba diving with me and with other friends. And it was great. It was great. But you see, he too did what he wanted to do and have fun. And I think that that's something we should all consider doing, being ourselves and having fun, because that's what life's all about. And I don't know, I think all the people I've had in my world so far, all the people that I've ever known, all of my students, all of my friends, are the same as I am. They like to be themselves and have fun, just enjoy life. Not that they're irresponsible, but they want to be themselves and have fun and do everything they do in a most noble, beautiful way. The best way to persuade others to listen is to listen to them. And Fred and Doug and all the other people in my life never felt that I was superior to them, even though their families had a little less than my family had. Didn't make any difference. I was always me, the city kid, and they were always them, and they were great, and they were beautiful. Can everyone in your world say that about you? Can everyone in your world say about you that you listened to them, and that you listened and you heard what they had to say? Well, let me recommend to you right now, begin listening to yourself. And when you learn to listen to yourself with all your heart and all your soul and all your being, you will hear God in you speaking and saying some very beautiful things. And then you can begin listening to God in others as they are speaking and doing beautiful things. And that's the best way to persuade others, is to listen to them. But first you have to learn how to listen to yourself. Have a wonderful life. I love you.